Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, Heartway family. I am so excited to be here this Sunday. Today, I am going to lead you on a centering prayer, focusing on patience. In a world where we are asked to move fast and get a lot done with little time, it causes a lot of impatience, a lot of doubt, and a lot of fear. I ask you now to think of patience as being present in this moment, just being here, right now, with yourself, with your breath, and with God. Let's get started. We're gonna have a seated position, comfortably nice, tall spine. Allow the chin to slightly come down, closing the eyes. You can bring your hands to the knees, palms facing up or down. Take a moment now to unclench the jaw, release any tension from the shoulders, and together let's take a deep inhale. Allowing the breath to rise up the chest, shoulders back, and then exhale, release. Take another inhale slowly, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, and then exhale vocally. Take a moment to notice where you are at right now. Noticing any emotions that are coming up, any impatience that is stirring up within you, any fear that might be rising, anything that's coming up, just allow it to come up and we observe. Slowly observing the emotions and the thoughts, and then gently disassociating ourselves from them. We take this moment to acknowledge that we are more than just our thoughts, more than just all of our emotions. We are the loving awareness behind it all. Focus in on your breath, watching the inhale traveling up the chest, shoulders back, and then follow the exhale as you gently release. Allowing the breath to bring you back to your now. Bringing yourself back to this moment. Creating space to allow God's love to enter, to allow God's peace to enter. Connecting now with this peace and this love and knowing that you are not separate from any of it. Knowing now that you are connected to all of this. Slowly take another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up the chest. Now with the lips sealed, exhale through the nose. Bringing your attention back to your breath. You honor yourself in this moment. Honoring this peace that is settling on you. Honoring the patience that we ask God to give us now. In times that are uncertain, we come back to God. We trust in Him, always knowing that He has our back. Knowing now that you can control how you experience this time, this moment, this now. You always have a choice to see life through the lens of love, through a patient lens, a loving lens, a peaceful lens. You always have the choice. Together, let's take another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up the chest, shoulders go back. And then exhale, release anything that is not serving to you. Let go of anything that is standing in your way. Anything that is in the way of your peace, of your moment right now. Connecting back to your source. Connecting back to your truth. When the thoughts keep going in and out, allow yourself to come back to the breath, focusing in on the inhale, following your exhale. As we trust in God, we must also trust in ourselves. Trust that anything that is happening in life is happening for our good. And there is nothing that we cannot overcome. For we are strong. We are whole. We are infinite. With so much purpose. As you take another moment to connect back, take this moment to truly let go, to release anything that is unserving to you. As you observe the emotions, the thoughts, decide now to only keep those that serve you best and that will serve for the highest good. Know that you are loved. Know that you are worthy. Take a moment and slowly deepen the breath. Allowing the breath to rise up, going up the chest, shoulders back. Hold the breath. And now vocally, exhale, release. Slowly coming back, bringing your awareness back to the vessel. Wiggling your fingers, maybe the toes. Gently take one more moment to honor yourself, to honor your relationship with God, to honoring this moment right now. Gently open up the eyes whenever you are ready. Thank you all so much. Many blessings and love to you. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us again this morning for our second week of the Heartway at Home experience. We miss being with you guys in person, loving on you, hugging you, giving you high fives, but we know hopefully soon that'll be able to happen again. Until then, we're gathering like this. And before I even get started with the message that I have to share with you today, I just want to make it very clear to everybody that's listening. There is no right or wrong way to feel in this moment right now. With everything that's going on, how you feel is okay. And I think some of us are waiting for that permission to be able to feel our feelings completely without having to layer guilt on ourselves because we're responding in a way that we don't think is good or right, for whatever reason that is. Now, with that being said, one of my favorite definitions of a Christian is someone who is able to see Christ in everything and in everyone. And at the heart of this Christ mystery is the truth that out of death, God always brings new life. Out of suffering, God always creates beauty. So what if we could allow ourselves to feel our feelings while at the same time looking beyond our feelings, transcending our feelings and emotions, so that we can see the beauty of God in this moment? One of Jesus' most famous teachings is found in Matthew chapter 5. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins by saying that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, withdrew from them, and he went up to the mountain to pray, and his disciples followed him up. And then he gave them a teaching. And the first words of the Sermon on the Mount are these: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, before I explain that statement to you, I want to bring your attention to the fact that Jesus withdrew from the crowds, because this is something that Jesus did consistently all throughout his ministry. He always would take the time to withdraw from the world and enter within himself. This is a moment where he was able to recenter, recalibrate, if you will. Growing up, I always would play video games, and oftentimes when you buy a new game, at the beginning, you have to set everything up with your TV. You have to recalibrate the settings on your television screen so that you can see all of the images as clearly and as well as they can truly be seen. If we don't take the time to nourish our souls, if we don't ever take the time to withdraw into ourselves, to center ourselves in the love of God, we'll never be able to see reality as the beautiful gift that it is, even in moments and seasons like the one that we are in right now. I love when Jesus said, "We are in the world, but we are not of the world." You see, the dominant consciousness, the collective consciousness of humanity has always been rooted in fear, in selfishness, in greed, in a lust for power, in tribal thinking, where it's win-lose, and usually we're the ones who say we're in, and then we point the finger at others and say that they're out. Jesus calls us to a higher level of consciousness, a different way of seeing and perceiving reality. It's what he called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the transcendent dimension of life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke of it as eternal life. To have eternal life, according to Jesus in the Gospel of John, is to know God, not just intellectually, not just mentally, but experientially in our everyday life. To know God through our experience of him as we interact with everyone and with everything. Jesus said this kind of life, the God kind of life, is available to us. Some theologians speak of this as having God consciousness. Most of us operate from an egoic level of consciousness where we are the center of our own world. God consciousness, accessing the kingdom of heaven within, is about releasing our own ideas of who we think we are to embrace our true identity in God, which is love. So that now we don't see ourselves as being separate from anyone or anything, but instead we see all of life and all of reality as one collective whole of which we are a part. Jesus said in order to access this dimension of life, we must become poor in spirit. Well, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Many of you know that over the last 5 years, as I was starting Heartway with my wife, I was also serving as a chaplain at a local homeless shelter here in the South Florida area. And every night we would have people that we called the overnighters. These were people who weren't necessarily a part of our program. They were homeless here in the area, but they needed a place to stay at night. And so they would come and they would bring their belongings, which obviously were not many. These people carried around with them very little baggage. It was enough to either fit under their bed or in a tiny little locker that we had assigned for them. In the same way, those of us who want to be poor in spirit need to learn how to let go of and release a lot of the internal mental baggage that we carry around so much. To be poor in spirit is to be open, is to be receptive. It's to be open to help from beyond yourself. It's what they say in AA and NA when they tell us to recognize our powerlessness so that we can depend on a power that is higher than ourselves. That power is love. That power is Christ. And that power is accessible to you. The word poor in the Greek, which Jesus uses in this text, literally means the very empty ones. To be poor is to empty yourself of you. It's no longer having an agenda for life. It's refusing to oppose life and instead beginning to flow with life because you know that your life is not in your hands. You don't have an argument that you're trying to win. You're not trying to prove yourself to be right. You don't want to achieve anything or gain anything. You don't even want anything because everything that you could ever want, you already have. And the reality is there's only truly one desire. The desire that all of us have is the desire for God. By emptying ourselves, by becoming poor in spirit, by having that open and receptive mind, what many call the beginner's mind, we can access this for ourselves. There's this wonderful story about a student who walked up to his meditation teacher and he said, "Sir, my meditation is horrible. Every time I meditate, my thoughts are distracting me. My legs are falling asleep. I get tired. I doze off. My body aches." And the teacher looks at him and says, "This will pass." And then the next week, the student comes up to the teacher, and this time he comes with a different story. He says, "Teacher, guess what? My meditation is amazing. It's going great. I feel so aware. I feel so alive. I feel so in tune with myself." And the teacher looked at him and said, "This too will pass." You see, our mind always likes to categorize things. Either it's good or it's bad. It's positive or it's negative. This is how it should be or this is how it shouldn't be. Well, beneath all of those judgments that we tend to overlay on top of reality, there is this constant, never-ending stream of peace that is flowing from the heart of God straight to our soul. And when we learn how to access that peace, which is beyond the ups and downs of life, that's when we can really find that anchor for our soul that can maintain us when everything around us is chaotic. Regardless of what our mind may say about a situation, whether we think it's good or bad or positive or negative, beyond all of that, we can recognize that this too will pass. What remains is our awareness of what is, our acceptance of what is, and the peace that comes from doing just that. Jesus once said to his disciples, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." The eye of a needle is a short little metaphor that speaks of a small gate that was in the city of Jerusalem. This small gate, which was called the eye of the needle, was only opened late at night when the larger gate into Jerusalem was closed. And in order for camels to go through that eye of the needle and go through that small gate, it was important for the camels to stoop low, remove their baggage so that they can fit through. In the same way, this teaching of Jesus is not just about our material possessions. This is also just as much about the attachments that we hold on to in our minds. See, the only way for us to come to God is empty-handed. When we come to God empty, He fills our cup. And even though it's scary and it sounds paradoxical, nevertheless, it's still true. When you become nothing, God then gives to you absolutely everything. There's another short story from another tradition about a young man who was training to become a rabbi. And he was sitting with his spiritual mentor around the table, and he was telling him about how much he's been reading and all of the philosophies that he's come across and all of the skills he has acquired over time and all of the books that he's been able to write. And as soon as he finished saying all of these things, the teacher, who was a very wise teacher, decided to pour this young man a cup of tea. And as he poured out this cup of tea, eventually the cup began to overflow, but he still kept on pouring. Eventually, the young student said, "Teacher, don't you see what's happening? Stop filling the cup. It's already full." And the teacher says, "Exactly. And so are you. How could I ever teach you anything? How can you expect God to fill you with love when you continue to fill your mind with fear? How could you expect God to fill your soul with peace when you continue to fill your mind with worries and cares and stresses of this world?" I love the proverb that has been repeated to me countless numbers of times throughout my life. It's in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Many of you may know this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." When I think about trusting in God, what that looks like for me is relaxing into God. I don't know if any of you have ever sat on or laid down on one of those beds that just like mold to your body and they sink in so deep and it feels so good and comfortable. I mean, when you're laying in a bed like that, you know in that moment, everything is okay. You're being sustained, you're being held, and it's all good. In the same way, when we can learn how to relax into God, that's the shift that begins to happen within us internally. The scripture says, "Trust in God with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding." You're not going to be able to figure out stuff up here. So many of our issues, so much of our frustration, our fear of the future is rooted in our necessity to control things. What would happen if we could let go of our expectations of life? What if we could stop having an agenda about how our life should be and what things should be looking like right now and what that other person should or should not be doing? Don't lean on your own understanding in this moment, because your understanding is very limited and your understanding is very biased. And you, with your understanding, cannot possibly get a hold of the much bigger picture, at least not in the same way that God does, not with the mind. Scriptures say don't lean on your own understanding, but instead acknowledge God in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. How can we acknowledge God in this moment? Take some time to reflect on that question for yourself. How can I acknowledge God's love and God's hand at work right now in my life? If we were to focus on that instead of everything else that we give our attention to, knowing that God is the one who is opening doors and closing doors, knowing that God is the one who is leading us and guiding us, knowing that our life is not in our hands, that's when we will come to experience the peace that the scriptures say surpasses all understanding. And I hope you are hearing that common theme. We must go beyond our understanding. We must go beyond the mind to access the stillness of the heart. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, three things remain forever: faith, hope, and love. Those three qualities have been embedded within your soul by God. It's a part of your divine DNA. It's your true nature. Every human spirit has the capacity for faith, for hope, and for love. In fact, you won't find satisfaction in your life until you begin to learn how to access and operate from that sense of faith, where you can know that you are not the one that is in control. You will never find satisfaction until you can begin to cultivate that sense of hope, knowing that God always brings good out of everything. You will never be satisfied in your soul until you can access that expansive love that God has poured into your heart through the Spirit. And so every day, what I want to do for myself, and I invite you to do the same, I want to speak faith, I want to see hope, and I want to give and receive love. When other people are speaking negativity, I want to speak God's promises and God's truth. When other people only see darkness, I want to see light. When other people want to withhold love and hoard things to themselves, I want to give myself away in love towards other people without fear, knowing that God has called us for moments just like this to be his hands and feet and to be an extension of his goodness and his love in the lives of other people. You know, years ago, there was a very wealthy man who lived in the Chicago area. And in the year 1871, there was a huge fire, the Chicago Fire, that lasted for several weeks, destroyed a whole bunch in the city. And this very wealthy man, who was also a follower of Jesus, happened to lose a majority of his fortune because of this incident. During this time, he had also lost his four-year-old son because of a fever. And so as all of this was happening, this man decided to send his wife and his other four kids off on a boat to England. And as they were on their way there, the boat got into a collision and it sank. His four kids lost their lives. His wife remained alive. And as he was planning to meet with her in England, he also decided to get on a boat for himself. And as they were headed over to the final destination, as they were passing through the area where the incident had occurred, the captain of the ship had told this man that this is where his kids had lost their lives. And after he was told that, this man decided to take out a journal and begin writing down some words that he felt the Spirit was speaking to his soul. And these words ended up becoming one of the most popular hymns within the Christian tradition that has been sung by all different kinds of Christians from all different backgrounds and denominations. You may know this song. I want to sing it for you. It goes a little something like this.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul.
Whatever our circumstances may be, we can always say, it is well with my soul. Because that's what the reality is. If God is with us, it is always well with our soul. God, we thank you that you are our ever-present help in time of need. We are so grateful that you are our refuge in moments of crisis. In all the inconsistencies of life, you are the one thing that remains constant. Your love never fails. Your peace always freely given to us. In this moment, God, so many people are facing uncertainty. And we're scared. We don't know where our finances are going to come from. We don't know what our next step will be. God, I pray that your peace would enter into the heart of every person underneath the sound of my voice. God, grant to us the love, the hope, the faith, the courage, the patience, and the strength we need to get through. Our prayer isn't that you would spare us from suffering, but that you would sustain us every moment that we're in it. You are enough for us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of the week.